Brown is dead.
After the hour of 11 in this, the month of February in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and overlay ostentatious studios of AM 970 Southern State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. Sorry, I'm adjusting my headphones here. And I'm distracted by this news that just arrived in my inbox. Hey, Tim Riley.
Yes.
What radio yacker inked a $100 million 10-year contract in 2001?
I don't know.
That would be... Here's another hint. This will clue you in. This will make it all very crystal clear to you. I'll ask the question again. Apparently, this is from the newest edition of Trivial Pursuit. What radio yacker inked a $100 million 10-year contract in 2001 to keep him on air through his 92nd birthday?
Ryan Seacrest.
No. So, Paul Harvey, there can only be one answer to this. Paul Harvey is the only answer to that.
Thought he was past 92.
100 million. No, well, that's... No, apparently he was 82 when he was 82 in 2001. He is, what, 6? So he's 88. No, that's a bunch of crap. He's way older than that. There's no way. All right, well, in any event.
He's nice to be involved.
We're not going to...
What's he supposed to do with that money?
Get his embalming done now just to save time. And now, prepaid embalming. He should just do it on the air. And now, my lungs. It's 503-733-2970. Now, lung two. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. If you'd like to be part of our program electronically today, you can do that as well. My friends, me chums, me mates. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. Your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you. Rick@RickEmerson.com. The best and worst thing about that Anna Nicole Smith candle in the wind thing is I have no idea who it is. It's just some guy. It's on YouTube. It's not labeled.
Does it show him singing, or is it just a photo montage?
It's just a collage of safe for work pictures of her from Playboy magazine for various other things. And a bunch of crap that he just scanned in at home, clearly, late at night, after recording his magnum opus in a fit of creational frenzy. So there you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program on the telephone, you can also email. It's Rick@RickEmerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. So coming up today, so Anna Nicole Smith's will.
I have it right in front of me.
All right, fantastic. So we'll go to the news early this hour. We will not wait for the news hour to get away because of these breaking events. They're unfolding live now in front of you as you live. We got Anna Nicole Smith's will that we're going to get to. James Brown will ask Lisa Goddard if James Brown still. And someone told me that Anna Nicole Smith hadn't even been embalmed yet.
I read that.
No, that's on the to-do list for today.
Right after pickup dry cleaning. Pickup dry cleaning. Have heart put in bag.
Bubble and bonnet.
While you wait.
Franchise is available.
Can I just tell you this right now? I don't even really know what embalming means. Embalming sounds like it ought to be part of some really bad pun. Embalming.
This is a really bad pun.
There's something there. There's some sort of joke. As is so often the case this week, it's right beyond my peripheral grasp. I can't quite get a hold of it. Whatever. In any event. Is embalming the same thing as... embalming, is that... Look, I don't want to horrify everybody, but...
I'm sure a lot of people are 6 feet under, so they probably know.
We're not into the lunch hour yet, so I can ask these questions. Is embalming the thing where they take out all your whatnot and they put it in a bag somewhere, giblets?
You're supposed to take your insides out.
Is that embalming, or is embalming...
I thought embalming is when they took out everything and then...
And they put packing peanuts or something. They fill you full of dust.
We are so stupid.
We're not stupid. I don't think most people know this. I don't think most people are. I don't think if you polled the average person on the street and asked them what embalming was, I don't necessarily know that they would know. For some reason, when they say embalming, that makes me think of like balm, like that bag balm stuff that they put on the udders of cows. So when I think of embalming, that makes it, for me, it just makes me feel like you're being dipped in some sort of waxen substance. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you just sort of being like House of Wax with Vincent Price, where you're just being covered with wax like a candle. Maybe that's not. We got to get this out of the way now because I don't want to talk about it when everybody's out there trying to have a 3-bean burrito. Well, if you know what embalming is, and you do, you let us know. Today, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com is going to be here, along with Aaron Duran from GeekInTheCity.com. They will both be in the studio with us today. CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy will continue to lose his faith in humanity as all the real stories were overlooked, and he is in Atlanta at the CNN Radio News Center there. Apparently, this news that they sent us this morning is already out of date. They sent us this news, this speculation about Anna Nicole Smith's will this morning, and this was from the Ron Rail, who is one of Anna Nicole Smith's attorneys, made this observation to CNN about the state of her will, and Ed McCarthy was going to talk about that, but this story changes about every 9 minutes now, so we'll talk to him. We have CNN Radio correspondent James Roop, who will be joining us from Los Angeles, and our good friend Lisa Goddard as well, around 11:35 or so today. We'll have the top five today coming up about 1:40 or so. We'll get the top five. We have a heartwarming Valentine's Day story, and by heartwarming, I mean it contains the phrase, "Ow, my penis is on the floor. Hey, can you please get that back and attached to me." We'll have all of that. And there you go. Plus, like is a 3, Dynamike at 7, etc., etc. So on and so forth. And if I seem a little scattered, I'm running a little behind this morning, and then I got to put together a list of all this crap I got to pack because I'm going out of town this weekend. So I'm flying.
Oh, yeah, you're
going
to be gone on Monday.
I am. I'm going to be gone Monday and Tuesday. I didn't even know Monday was a holiday, though. Monday, apparently I'm only really missing one actual work day.
We'll be here.
Well, no, you'll be here, and I would be here were I not on vacation. I know that sounds like a dumb statement, like a statement of the obvious. I'm just saying, I wouldn't know, if I was not going to be in Southern California, I would be here on Monday, even though I guess Monday is technically speaking a holiday. So I will be here on Wednesday morning. And here's the best part about it, is that this program goes on the air at 11 o'clock. You know what time my flight gets in on Wednesday? 9:45. So, about 9:45 on Wednesday morning, the plane's going to land.
I feel best show ever.
I'm just saying, I don't. So Wednesday morning, you ought to be prepared for the fact that I might be doing the first half of the 11 o'clock hour on Wednesday via the cell phone as I'm speeding down the highway in my car trying to get here. But I will be back on Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have alleged best ofs, and then Tim and Sarah and Scotty will be here adding some witty banter and casual conversation, plus headlines of the day's happenings back and forth between the segments. So anyway, we've got that. And we have, do we have the Supernova, Rockstar Supernova tickets, Scotty? All right. I believe the official stenographer who was going to be going to the Rockstar Supernova show tonight at Memorial Coliseum is not able to go, so I think we're going to be giving those away to somebody else with the proviso that you then, except see, then we're going to have to wait till Wednesday. Oh, that's ass. Well, I guess whoever the stenographer is can just call in Monday and talk to you guys about it. You know, I don't have anybody waiting when it wants to wait till Wednesday to find out how the Rockstar Supernova show went.
Oh, I'm sure nobody will mind.
Yeah, they...
Come on, who's really clamoring for how crappy the Rockstar Supernova show is going to be?
You shouldn't say that.
I mean, well, I'm not saying Delana and Magni,
but... You know, Delana's listening right now, probably.
Hey, I liked their song. I'm saying the Supernova stuff. Like, if I was going to that show, I'd probably just stay for the opener and then leave.
In her hotel room with a whetstone sharpening a knife. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing? How's your day?
Oh, it's super.
Is it going well?
Oh, it's swimmingly.
Is it going splendidly?
It sure is.
Are you lying?
No, actually, I'm doing all right. You know, I'm a little jostled, but now I'm good.
Okay. Is somebody in a state of giddy denial today?
Oh,
everything's fine.
No, I'm actually good. I'm really stoked for tonight. Oh. I'm really excited to see that band that kind of sounds like Storm in the Balls.
Storm? No, I think it is Storm in the Balls. Okay, no, but it is Storm in the Balls.
That's, it is, but they're under a different name.
I know. They're going under a different name, which we will not use on the which we cannot use on the radio broadcast.
Oh, and it looks like my sister will be able to get into town, hopefully.
It doesn't matter, because she's not going to be here. If it doesn't happen on the Rick Emerson show, then it didn't really happen.
You know what? She's going to be here on Monday, and I was going to bring her in, and you're not going to be here. I'm going to bring her in anyway.
You should bring her in anyway.
I will.
See, there you go. So people who were thinking about listening on Monday, they were feeling, well, look, if Rick's not going to be there live, what reason do I, as a listener, have for tuning in? What possible entertainment value would there be? Well, now you know. So, Sarah's sister, Heather, will be in the studio on Monday, and you'll be able to listen to her.
Perhaps we can have a dialogue with her during the local break.
It's entirely possible.
We can talk to her.
So that's Monday. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
I have before me the will of Vicki Lynn Marshall, otherwise known as Anna Nicole Smith. We're going to take a look at it. Also, she must be embalmed today. They're tired of pussyfooting around about that. Some of the other things going on. The Democrats are finally showing a little backbone, trying to put an end to the president's war plans for Iraq. And a Florida girl has 50 hiccups a minute and can't stop.
See, I saw that story this morning and I wasn't going to print it out. You know why? Who wants to guess why I wasn't going to print out the story about the hiccuping girl, which now we have to?
Because you're obsessive compulsive and you're going to start hiccuping?
No, that's not... I don't hiccup a lot, actually. It's not a thing... You know, does anything... Let me ask you this. Do you have anything you do that you know triggers hiccups?
I think drinking really fast.
But like any beverage, like if you drink a lot of water really quickly, I don't mean anything like, I'm not talking about something that's carbonated. Like if you drink a glass of water really quickly, that'll make you hiccup?
No. I guess I don't have anything specific.
All right, Tim?
Thai food gives me the hiccups and I love it.
Thai food or the hiccups?
Thank you.
Thai food.
I was just going
to
ask that.
I have to live with the hiccups.
So the hiccups are, they're a tolerable side effect.
Yes.
They are a tolerable byproduct for this. Okay, here's the weirdest thing, and the strange thing is this happens to my mom as well. It's a weird, I don't know if it's like it's a family thing, is it genetic or something? You know when I will hiccup? I will hiccup if I have
if I have stale bread of any kind. In other words, so
that's bizarre.
In other words, so if I'm eating a sandwich in the morning, let's say I'm eating a sandwich, I'm sitting in my, you know, I'll eat lunch at work, so you know, at my desk sometimes because I'm lame. So I'll be sitting there at my desk. I'll eat half a sandwich. I'll say, hey, you know, I'll finish this sandwich later. Maybe wrap it in a napkin or something. Whatever. Leave it on the desk. Come back, you know, a little while later. Finish the sandwich. If I finish the sandwich later, or if I have like bread, like homemade bread or something, maybe you leave it on the breadboard overnight or sitting out. If I have it the next day, it gives me the hiccups, and I don't know why that is. There's no and it does every time.
Think it's more of a mental thing?
I don't know. There's no reason for it. Same thing happens to my mom. You know, here's the weirdest thing about the hiccups with my mom. My mom and. Save the observations about how we ought to be putting our food in refrigerators. My mom, if my mom has, there's no tactful way to put this. If my mom has cold meat, in other words, meat that has been at room temperature, like when I was growing up, we would often barbecue during the summer, you know, whatever. You go out, you grill up a hamburger or five. My mom sometimes later on in the evening, after everybody had finished dinner, there would be like a stray hamburger remaining on a plate that no one had eaten. My mom would have part of that, give her the hiccups. So if my mom had room temperature meat, it would give her the hiccups. I think now as I say that out loud, I realize that it sounds strange on like a whole bunch of levels. Also, that room temperature meat is a fantastic name for a band. The reason I wasn't going to print it out was because when you start talking about this girl who has 50 hiccups a minute, and she's also had them for like a month, right? Isn't that the thing that she's had the hiccups for weeks and weeks and weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things like having a sore throat at work where every guy in the freaking office comes out of the woodwork with some home remedy that his grandpappy gave him from the Ozarks. Everybody's got their own hiccup cure. None of them work. That's the thing about hiccup cures. And everybody is convinced that their hiccup cure is the one. That theirs is different. No hiccup. I don't care what it is. There's always some jackhole at the office that's got to weigh in on how to cure your hiccups. None of these things work. None of them are effective. All right. Kurt knows what embalming is. Kurt, hello, sir. Kurt? Give me a C. Give me a...
It could begin with K.
All right. There you go. I love that. I love that about our phones. That's my favorite feature of the new studio, the fact that I can't tell when someone's there or not. I'm not going to let it throw me off.
You shouldn't.
503-733-2970. Well, Scotty's pointing out that he has to be there. It would be beeping. No, I don't know. It doesn't always make that fast, busy sound. That's not always it's not always the case. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is normally the time where I share wacky and relatable anecdotes about what happened in my life last night so that we might feel more bonded together as host and audience. Right now, though, there are more pressing issues at hand.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Before me, I have the will of Vicki Lynn Marshall, better known as Anna Nicole Smith to most of us. Well, this will gives her companion Howard K. Stern a large amount of control over her estate. Now, according to a copy of the document, Smith names the attorney executor of the will and gives him, quote, broadest and most absolute permission, discretion, and exercising all power, unquote.
That seems like a good idea.
The will also directs any probate court to uphold any action taken by my executor, meaning Stern. This document is dated June 30th, 2001, and asks that all Smith's property be held in a trust for her now deceased son, Daniel, and named Stern as his guardian. However, the kid's dead. And, of course, her new baby is a name because this was done back in 2001. So that's where it stands at the moment.
All right, so I'm reading this. Let's see, you're reading this right now.
TMZ has it.
All right, and I'm getting a lot of conflicting accounts of what embalming actually is. Nobody really seems to know. All right, so let me just sit down here. I should also say that I haven't had any breakfast today. So
I'm going to have to hear that.
No, yeah, you seem a little wacky.
It's not that I'm a little wacky. I'm running a little bit behind today. I mean, of course, I mean, clearly this will be the best show ever. I'm simply saying, though, that I'm a little wacky. I've had all of the... It's like something... Remember Jolt Cola used to have that slogan? It was all of the sugar, twice the caffeine. Today, I've had all of the caffeine and none of the food.
I've had no food either, and I was counting on... I was getting on the plate to deliver, and it does not, so now I'm going to eat Pop-Tarts out of the vending machine.
Fantastic. I ate heartily.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Or maybe I'll have the chocolate Chex.
I was just going to say, they got chocolate Chex mix. And I actually, the frustrating thing is, I actually have my breakfast right here. I just haven't been able to eat it yet. And I'm not really sure I'm not really sure that I can eat it on the air, though. I got this whole thing about not being able to eat when I'm doing the show because it makes me all mush-mouthed. So I'm not really sure that that's a thing I can do. I guess we'll find out.
Rick Emerson lives on the edge today and eats while he's doing the show. All right,
here's something else.
I give the guardian of the person of my minor children the same authority as a parent having legal custody and authorize the guardian to exercise such authority without need for notice, hearing, court authorization, instructions, approval, or confirmation. Now, it says here minor children. Isn't that plural of child?
Minor.
Even though the child wasn't born at that time. Could this have been, in case this happened, it says minor children.
But she did have a miscarriage.
Uh-huh.
So it was reported, so maybe she was planning on having...
Mm-hmm. Well, when is it?
It was in 2001.
All right, so
this was written in 2001.
That was when I think...
And it says, I give the guardian of the person, meaning Stern...
Too much happening.
...of my minor children the same authority as a parent.
All right, so we need better legal minds.
Seriously, we need like a good solid week.
It says a plural children, not child.
We need about a day and a half where nothing happens in the Colts. We're not even caught up with what happened last week. We're barely over the fact that she's dead. Now we're having to deal with this. All right. So
I hope she knows what she's putting us through.
Seriously. Okay, so this will was drawn up in 2001.
Correct.
Is this is her whole estate, all of her money, mm-hmm. all of that. Okay. It all goes to Howard K. Stern by name?
Yes.
Or
he's the executor.
Okay, but what does that mean, the executor? I don't know what an executor is.
He's the big cheese.
I guess the person who's in charge of doling out
the
money.
He's the decider.
He's in charge of doling it out, but does that mean that it goes to him? And then if he wants to give it to other people, he can, or...
I don't think he'd want to.
Does executor mean... In other words, is the executor the person that gets it all, or is the executor the person who is in charge of following all the other instructions?
You got me.
Because one is sort of like this. One of them is, if I give Sarah $100, and I say, well, do what you want with that. And the other is if I give her $100 and go, hey, will you make sure Tim gets this? You know, that's the difference.
Well, my uncle was the executor for my grandmother's will, and she wrote out specific instructions as to where, you know, where certain money was supposed to go to, but he was the one who had all the money, and he was in charge of giving it all out.
That's what I'm saying. So I think
maybe it's his.
I think that's what executor means. I think executor has to carry out all of the instructions in the will, and then if they also get some money, if they are also a beneficiary, I think that is a separate... I think that's a separate title. So he's the executor?
Mm-hmm.
Did he also draw up the will? Do we know that? Did he also write the will? Because it seems like that would be a little wacky.
So, this is drawn up by the law firm, the London Law Corporation, 1901 Avenue of the Stars East, Los Angeles.
Okay. All right. And so when all of the money goes to him... Mm-hmm. I guess I'm saying, though, does the will say all my stuff goes to Howard K. Stern, or does the will say all my stuff goes to the guardian of my kid and it happens to be him? In other words, does he receive...
That's what it looks like.
So he's the beneficiary, sort of, because he happens to be the guy in the chair, by title, not by name.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because then what that makes me think of is...
It says, I have intentionally omitted to provide for my spouse and other heirs, including future spouses and children.
Ooh.
But if she's not married. That's right. Wait a minute here. I think I found another clause here. Except as otherwise provided in this will, I have intentionally omitted to provide for my spouse and other heirs, including future spouses and children.
To provide for her, spouse.
So she brought children for future children.
Right. But she also said for her spouse, but she wasn't married in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Or was she? Was she married to J. Howard Marshall? Isn't the new baby's name Marshall? Daniel Lynn Marshall?
I think so.
So, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Future spouses and other descendants now living in those hereafter born or adopted, as well as existing and future stepchildren and foster children.
So confused. This is Mike. Mike, you are an executor?
I have been, yes.
Okay, so what is it? So what is an executor?
He or she is the person designated in the person's will to carry out the wishes of the deceased.
All right, so...
You can't do anything that isn't in the will.
Not necessarily, then, a beneficiary.
No, absolutely not, although you could be one. And please keep in mind, I'm not a lawyer. But an executor can also be a beneficiary, as I was.
Okay.
But an executor can't do anything that's not specifically spelled out in the will.
And it says it right here. All the property of my estate, after payment of any tax and other expenses of my estate, as provided below, including properties subject to a power of appointment hereby, shall be distributed to Howard Stern Esquire.
Esquire.
To be held in trust for my child. Okay, it doesn't say children here. Under such terms as he and the court of a competent jurisdiction may declare.
Now, when it says in trust for her child, but that was in 2001 when the only kid was Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
So if Daniel's dead, which he is, then where does the money default to?
Okay.
All right. Mike, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
There you go. Thank you. That's Mike, who was an executor. All right. Fantastic.
Okay. It was supposed to be held in trust for him until the age of 25.
Okay.
And at that time, given one-third of all the income of the trust and one-third of the principal of the trust. And at 30, he was supposed to be given one-half of the income from the trust and one-half of the principal of the trust as constituted.
This is totally...
At 35, he is to be given the rest of it.
This is totally one of those... And they pick those dates, those ages so arbitrarily. Like at 35, somehow he's magically going to be competent enough to have $500 million.
So the first executor is Howard K. Stern. The second, Ron Bale, who's the other lawyer that we mentioned. And the third... Eric James Lund Esquire.
So there's three executors?
Yeah.
Is that like
well,
in case...
they go in order.
In case one's dead or something?
Right,
or?
Like runner-up.
So, but does it say... So if it says that all of the money in the will goes to... what's his name? To Daniel.
Yeah.
Her kid.
And it's handed out in increments.
But if Daniel's dead, does it then go to Daniel Lynn? Or does it go to Howard K. Stern to do whatever he wants with?
That is the question, isn't it?
That is the question before the court today. So,
let's see. Right. I'm reading as they go along here.
All right.
Well, it does seem to say a lot about the children, so I'm thinking maybe it'll probably go to the kid.
Maybe. Well, that, but see, that, so that would totally, but does it go, and here's another question. I wonder then, and Tim's still reading the will, but does it go to him? In other words, does the will say that the money goes, it will probably doesn't say this, though, because it was before the baby was born. So my question is, so if Anna Nicole Smith's will says that all the money is supposed to go to her kid,
mm-hmm.
at the time, Daniel, he's
right.
dead.
Mm-hmm.
If it then defaults to the baby, to Daniel Lynn, does it default to Daniel Lynn's guardian or Daniel Lynn's father or both or neither? That's the question, because that would then explain why everybody's wrangling so hard to prove that the baby is theirs.
That is true.
I just can't believe it. How long do paternity tests usually take? Because it seems like this is taking a really long time for
a big
amount of money.
They haven't even done a paternity test, though, have they?
I think it's the 20th or the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got to do it by then. I think they said that there was no, they couldn't do it any longer than that. They couldn't wait any longer than that, which is next Tuesday.
You know it's already done, but they're just liking the media craziness. I bet that they already know who the father is.
Oh, that weird nutcase Florida judge.
I'm not releasing a body. This body belongs to me now. I'm not releasing the body. From what I read, this body's staying right here. We'll decide how we, what condition and what place we put the body. But the body belongs to me now. Old, but it won't decompose so fast. That baby is on a cold, cold storage room. It's not decaying so fast. I can go over there now and look at it.
You know, let's all go.
Oh, here's something else. Okay. No executor, other than a corporate executor, shall be liable to any person interested in my estate for any act or default by my executor or any other person.
All right.
Unless it results from my executor's own bad faith, willful misconduct, or gross negligence.
Willful misconduct like giving you an overdose of methadone. Not that anybody in this case did that. Let's see. We should take a couple of these. Am I supposed to be taking line two? All right.
That's the best line.
It's not. It's the worst line. But here's the thing. We have to take, not that I don't want to take his call, but we have to take line two so that we can then put it on permanent busy and not answer it anymore because line two is weird sounding. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, has it been fixed? Hey, does line two sound...
It sounds normal.
Does line two sound normal? Hey, they fixed it. Oh, God bless them. I take back some of the things I said today. All right. Hello, sir.
Yeah, how's it going there, Rick?
What's up?
I'm a regular listener. I'm actually normally from Portland, but I'm in Idaho right now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's a really unfortunate...
Where are you at in Idaho?
I'm in McCall, like north of Boise, where there's lots of snow.
Yeah, it's a bad place.
It really is. But let me tell you, I was reading the paper out here, and I came across a story, and you totally came to mind. Like, I know our listenership out there would really appreciate hearing this.
Okay.
It's a story out of Logan, Utah. A 62-year-old man accused of taking teenage boys on nude snowmobile rides has pleaded guilty to lewdness, a misdemeanor. Besides the snowmobiles, Richard Lamb and two 15-year-olds used a sauna in the nude during a trip to his cabin in Cache County last year, according to court documents.
How old is he?
A real, a 62-year-old guy, an older dude.
You know, that's a lot of
15-year-olds out. That's pretty foul, huh?
It's like a lot of gray hair and folding.
Yeah, well, here's the real kicker, man. This, you'll dig this one. Lamb was a bishop of a Mormon church ward in Hyde Park from 91 to 97.
Of course he was.
Very nice.
Gives new meaning to the term polishing the bishop.
Indeed it does. Well, I had to share that with you. I figured you'd get at least a little kick out of it to break up the monotony of this whole Anna Nicole Smith thing.
I do indeed. When are you back from Idaho, sir?
I'm coming back about 2 days. I'll be back for Monday's show. Don't you worry.
All right. Well, my advice to you is to drink heavily for as long as you're there.
I got a beer in hand right now, man.
Excellent. Bless you, sir. Thank you, Grant.
Thanks. Bye.
Oh, there you go. That's Grant. Hey, and line two is fixed. We got a break here. When we come back, Michael says he is going through the same thing with a will. All right. We'll come back. We'll talk to Michael. It's 503-733-2970. And James, of course, has a hiccup cure. It's 503-733-2970. We're back after this on the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the Ramones. Rick Emerson radio program is 503-733-2970. In just a second, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How you doing, Rick?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Hey, I'm going through the deal with the will, too. My mom just died in January, and we've got my dad's got an executor of their will. And me and my brother are still left. And when he passes, then she'll distribute, you know, as he says in the will.
Oh, I see. So that's it. Okay. So,
and then, my ex-wife just died about 3 weeks ago. And she has no will. So everything goes to her son because he's the only one left.
So it just looks like it defaults to the kid.
Right.
All right. So,
so that would be the same thing. That would go to that to Anna Nicole's little daughter.
All right. And I wonder if it goes to the dad or to the legal guardian. That's my thing. It's like, does it go to whoever is the legal guardian of the kid or whoever is actually the biological father?
That and the whoever's on the executive of the will is, you know, have to follow the instructions on it.
Yeah. No.
But she, until she's old enough, you know, I'm sure that it'll stipulate the same thing as the son did.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Michael, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got there.
All right, there you go. That's Michael in Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town. She hasn't been mugged yet, but there's always tomorrow. It's Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how's things? How's life?
Going good, going good. We're getting down to it in the house. We've got the anyone watching C-SPAN out of their other ear would know that looks like the House is getting ready to vote on that Iraq resolution maybe in the next 20 minutes.
Well, that's fantastic. I expect that everything in the country is going to change and turn around once that's resolved.
That's right. I knew that you would wanted to make arrangements for yourself as well.
Yes, I would like to tell you right now, just for the record, I hold out no hope for a better future for America or for anyone. That's now the official position of the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, that's good to know. I'm sad that you can't fit on a bumper sticker, though.
Well, I'm working on it. Maybe even like in little five-point Comic Sans print. So this is just for the four people out there that really are like pinning all their hopes to this. So the when you say that this is, it's all coming down to it, this is the long-debated, oft-delayed, ultimately pointless, non-binding resolution?
This would be that non-binding resolution. That's right. And actually, this week in listening, this is John Boehner, Republican leader in the House.
Stabilizing the Middle East. and jeopardizing the very safety and security of the American people.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Jeopardizing the safety and security of the American people. I think what he's probably saying, what the Republicans have been arguing, is that this non-binding resolution, first of all, by not being binding, they question what it accomplishes, as have you. And then, second of all, they say that by opposing the president's troop increase without supplying an alternate plan, that this really undermines America's perceived strength overseas. But, of course, Democrats say, look, it doesn't matter what the perceived strength is. The fact is the war's not going well, and we've got to do something to try and affect the course, even if that's just passing a non-binding resolution that we hope and pray the president will listen to.
Yeah, that seems likely to happen. I have two observations here. I could either flip a coin, or you could just pick which one I do first. I have a suggestion for the Republicans, and I have a suggestion for the Democrats. Which would you like to hear first?
Let's go top to bottom. Let's go Republicans, since you started there.
Here's what the Republicans ought to be doing. I really ought to just start. I mean, look, if that bastard Dick Morris can continue to be a political consultant, and I mean, there's pictures of him in a dog collar. I mean, that guy's got stiletto heel prints in the back of his head most of the time. So if that guy can make a living, I ought to be able to make a living doing this. Here's my suggestion for the Republicans. I am urging the Republicans now, they should begin using the following phrase to refer to the Democrats. They should begin referring to this as, wait for it, a non-binding Congress.
Oh,
it's genius. You know that.
Good.
You know that's genius.
That is pretty good.
I should just sell that crap to Sean Hannity right now.
That is pretty good.
Call him up and just tell him I got something good. This what we've got in effect here is not a non-binding resolution. America's being held hostage by a non-binding Congress.
That's pretty good.
You know that. See, that would be effective. Johnny and Jane Pinhead would love that.
In the spin room, that would definitely that would get some young staffers excited.
I'm going to tell you right now. If you hear that anywhere else, it came from the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I'm glad you're putting that flag down right now.
We have created. Wait, let's see if I have my copyright 2000. Wait, hold on. Let's see.
This goes copyright 2007. Rick Emerson Show.
There you go. secondly, here's my suggestion for the Democrats. What the Democrats ought to be doing is the Democrats ought to either on YouTube or or on television or the USA Today probably is a good way to get this across. The Democrats ought to start every day listing Iraq problem number blah 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 blah, and we're talking about the full page ad, black print or rather white print black page, 2-3 sentences tops, and where it says like Iraq problem number 107, 4,628 troops have insufficient body armor, and then right below it just says President Bush, what are you going to do about it? And that's all it says. And every day, it's a different problem. They give it a number, they describe it in one sentence, and they say, President Bush, what are you going to do about it? And they just do that every day from now until time immemorial. Because that's the sort of thing that Americans, that sort of picks up its own momentum. It sort of snowballs. Not unlike the how many days since James Brown has been dead.
Yes, which we have a small, he still is unburied. But I now have a better bead on where he is, apparently in a mortuary.
How hard can it be to find out where he is? He's dead. He's wherever he was yesterday.
That's true. Well, mortuary in Augusta, Georgia, I believe.
What a bad way to end your life. You're Mr. Dynamite. You're the godfather of soul. You're the hardest working man in show business. You're Mr. Please, Please, Please. Mr. More, More, More. And yet, there you go. You die. And
he's hanging on to this world with everything he's got.
Even in death, he won't let go. He's,
right.
Even in death, his final encore stretched into two months.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Then back to your spin ideas. I think you've got something with the Democrats. I think they would have to be substantive points. They couldn't be just, hackneyed things we'd heard before. But if they could say, the number of working utilities, hasn't gone up in the 3 years we've been there, or things like that.
It's got to be very specific, very finite points.
Then that might do something for a little while.
Start doing that every single day. That's the genius of Bill O'Reilly and those talking point things he does. Americans love to have things distilled down to like a one sentence description.
Right. As you said, we love the bullet points down the list.
That's what I'm saying. Although non-binding Congress is much better, I'll grant you that. Of the two suggestions, that's way better. It's so good that I want the Republicans to use it just so I can see how effective it is. So you can,
it's pretty good. I think it would catch.
Is this when is it expected to come down to this non-binding resolution? When is that going to be resolved, do you think?
Well, fully resolved, that's very hard to say, but I think in the House they'll vote on it in the next half hour or so, maybe a little bit more than that. But then the issue, of course, is the Senate, and the Senate is going to be in town tomorrow, so will I. We'll all be here at work. The Senate will be voting on not this resolution, but on a procedural motion that would allow them to vote on this motion. It's cloture. It means they close debate, and this goes back to the Mr. Smith goes to Washington, so that you would block a filibuster and you'd be able to vote on a motion. They'll vote on cloture tomorrow, and if they get 60 votes, then they'll be able to move right to this resolution and likely pass it sometime next when they return, and that's also a question mark. But it doesn't look like they have those 60 votes now. It's close.
This whole thing just seems like going to a lot of extra work and getting an extra job and navigating an obstacle course and getting on a plane and then a bus and then a car and then a train just so you can buy a cup of decaf. That's what this whole thing seems like to me. All right. Well, whatever.
You know, the point is what's really coming, and this is like what we've been talking about. This is what they're really gearing up for. This is really a big dress rehearsal. Try on the lipstick. Get ready for the funding debate. Because when the supplemental budget, that $93 billion budget that the president wants right now, when that comes up for debate, there could be all sorts of Iraq debates attached to that. But there certainly will be some debate over whether the Congress should hold back some of that funding, with the idea that that would somehow hold back the numbers of troops in Iraq, though it's very questionable that the president would do that. Still, the Democrats might try.
Well, as long as there's the promise of something exciting in the future.
There is indeed.
That's enough to hold me here. Hey, are you? Did you ever see The Good Shepherd?
I have not. I saw The Departed last night, though.
What did you think?
I loved The Departed.
Not a great Scorsese film, but I'd say a very solid film.
I thought it was very solid. I mean, I think Jack Nicholson just ridiculous, and Leonardo impressed me.
He was great, and I dislike that guy a lot of the time, just because.
Right, exactly. There's something that, yeah, it's sort of a strange thing, but that was the best I've ever taken to him.
You got to see The Good Shepherd, which is a fantastic film, and then there's that movie Breach. I think it's called Breach that comes out this weekend, which is about, is it about the Aldrich Ames case? Who is it? It's about
Yes.
The movie I'm thinking of with Chris Cooper. Anyway, so see The Good Shepherd, and then let me know what you think. I'll be curious to know your thoughts on that, because it is probably the best depiction I've ever seen of the early days of the intelligence agencies
right.
in America.
I'll work on it. You know, but it's already, we tried to see it last week. It's already gone from D.C., so now we're going to have to wait.
All right. Well, it'll be worth the wait, though.
All right.
Enjoy your weekend. Have a great afternoon. We will have speaks with you in the near future, Lisa.
Excellent.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill, CNN radio correspondent extraordinaire. Fantastic. All right. Oh, I forgot to ask her if she watched the Fox thing. The hideous Fox half-hour news hour.
Did you send it to her?
I didn't, but I know that she found it. I mean, she undoubtedly. I mean, is it everywhere in the net? And our nutcase stalking listeners probably sent it to her in droves. Let's see. This is Sheldon.
Yep.
Sheldon, hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up?
You sound much blacker on the phone, Rick.
Much blacker?
Well, yeah.
As in I'm depressed, or as in I'm a Negro?
I'd be bluer. Yeah, Negro-like. I often get, I sound whiter on the phone. When people meet me, because I'm black, I happen to be black.
Yes, you happen to be.
Happen to be.
Okay.
I was gonna ask you. I'm born on caffeine, man, so I may ramble a bit, but I actually did have a question and a comment.
Okay.
You guys are talking about executors.
Yes.
I was wondering if you knew what a female executor would be. Sure.
Is this the lead up to a punchline, or are you actually asking me?
No, I'm being serious. I know how you ask.
Female executor, like an executrix?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's that simple. And it made me wonder, though, about it, because a dominatrix, right?
Yes.
So would a male of that ilk be a dominator, or, because it wouldn't be a dominatrix if it was a male, or can you have the opposite sex?
Sheldon,
type of a thing?
Sheldon, I don't want to be shrinking your head and whatnot, but are you really just calling up so you and I can have a long discussion about deviant sexual practices? You can admit if that's the case.
Well, yeah, but not on the radio.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I don't even really know. We're just wading hip deep into this. I think it is... Is it Executrix, or am I just making that up?
No, really, it is. It is Executrix. You are right.
Why do I even know that?
Exactly. It's the same reason my wife won't play Scrabble with me.
Okay, fair enough. All right, was there anything else you had, sir?
No, that's it, man.
All right. Hey, that does remind me, though, that we got to get, first of all, I got to figure out what her name is so I don't just call her, I just keep calling her that girl, because that's not the way to a woman's heart. That woman who was the professional dominatrix. I got to remember what her name is so we can get her back on the phone at some point. She had a great voice, and she apparently used to, like, flog guys for a living.
And
so that's
you've
pretty
seen
good.
Her picture and you think she's hot.
And she, it's not like I think she's hot. She isn't. Now, maybe, look, who knows? Maybe it was taken at the right angle or in, like, a weird light or something, but, I mean, she looked hot. So, and I think Sheldon will agree that that's someone we should add to the Rick Emerson stable of frequent callers.
I think so.
All right. Enjoy your day, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. You too.
There you go. That's Sheldon on the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Executrix. Her name was Alicia. That's right, because we thought it was another girl, Alicia, because we thought it was our friend Alicia, which would have been awkward. Yes, I know you have her number, Scotty. Quit saying that. Just quit telling us, quit reminding us. And now I got to find her picture and put it up on the site. James, hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, I know you're probably, or you would be sitting in your seat, shaking your head that, you're in disbelief I have a cure for hiccups, but I believe this works. It's worked for me, instead of, like, taking a glass and drinking it from the front of the glass and tipping it upwards, what you do is you drink it from the back of the glass and you tip it towards your body. It might get a little messy and you might spill a little bit, but I don't know, maybe psychologically it tricks your brain or something, but...
people say that kind of stuff, and I always wonder if they're just... I wonder with hiccup cures if people are just screwing with you to see if you'll do stuff. Hop up on one foot, bark like a dog, set your hair on fire, you know, just to see if you'll do it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, every time I've had... I don't have the hiccups very often, but every time I've had them, I've tried that, and it works great.
I don't know. I guess maybe that might work because it like, short-circuits your brain, maybe, or it distracts you or something like that. I think that's the thing with when they say you're supposed to scare somebody or startle them. I think that's only because it sort of, it sort of it crosses the current in your head, maybe, or something like that. I know that there's this thing you do, like, when those extreme cases where those guys will have hiccups for, like, 5 years, they'll give you, like, big shots of oxygen or something into your brain, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. All right, thank you. That's it, James. There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. There you go. I predicted it and it happened. Descending into hiccup cures. Let's see, what is this? This is Nick. Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good. I was just driving. I was over in the Hollywood area and saw this really funny bumper sticker I thought you might appreciate. Says, God was my co-pilot until we crashed and I ate him.
Okay, that's pretty funny. That is funny. All right, excellent. Thank you.
Spreading the word. Bye.
All right, thank you. God is my co-pilot until we crashed and I ate him. That really is. And that's a call that would sound really terrible when you're looking at the description. You're like, guy has... And Scotty didn't say that. It was just like, Nick blah, blah, blah has comment. I don't think it said bumper sticker because that's just... what's that? Do we have that like my body thing isolated as like a standalone? Or do we need to work on that still?
I think we need to work on it.
All right. Let's see. Well, we should probably break here in just a second. 503... Let me read a couple of these and we'll take a break. 503-733-2970. Rick, okay, this is about hiccups being triggered by specific foods. Rick, my family hiccup triggers are meatloaf and orange soda. Not that interesting, but I have never heard anyone else who had this problem, and I was compelled to tell you. Have fun in San Diego, Allison. It's true. It's my mom. It is room temperature meats, cooked meats. And for me, it is stale bread. Gives me the hiccups. This is the weirdest thing. Rick, while I don't know anything about embalming, I do know that the part of the back room of the Avalon Theater, which is by that Nickelcade, used to be a prep area for a mortuary, and a chart still hangs inside one of the cabinets detailing... That's creepy because it's a video game arcade now for children.
Where is this?
The Wonderland, that Nickelcade on, what is it, Belmont?
Oh, okay, on like 30-something in Belmont?
Yeah, okay. It's got the clowns and the big light-up, you know, the circus lights outside.
I heard that they're tearing down that whole building.
Really? That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is something... You never just see stuff, and then it's like you realize that it really ought to be used somewhere. Like when I said that thing about non-binding Congress, and you realize the Republicans ought to use this, or you're like, my whole life is one big... You'll have some situation where you're like, well, this is one big Seinfeld episode. Every time I see something like this, it's like you just want to forward it to what's-his-name, to Chuck Palahniuk, so he can put it in a book. Rick, did you know the back room of the Nickel Cage used to be a prep area for a mortuary, and a chart still hangs inside one of the cabinets detailing what procedures and chemicals to use for burns, abrasions, bruises, or tears in the skin? Thought you'd appreciate that. I can probably get you a photo of it if you'd like. Yes. Yes, do that, please. Yes, have some. Thank you. All right. Rick, Executrix, there's only one X in Scrabble. That's not true. Is there only one X in the Scrabble game?
The spelling of Scrabble?
And we're out. Back after this. It's 503. Yeah, how many X's are in Scrabble? 503-733-2970. We come back. I swear to God, more stuff about executors and more hiccup cures. Can't get enough of that. That's what's going to push this to a six-hour show someday. It's the need to have endless hiccup cures. And talk about embalming. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay right there.